You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, Hillary Clinton is in the news this week, not just for her presidential campaign, but because of her ongoing email scandal during her time as Secretary of State. We'll look at the new Inspector General's report and how it could affect her campaign.
First, it's time for our weekly review of state news. It's the Wisconsin News Roundup.
Lots of legal action this week as the state dealt with challenges to voter ID laws and a redistricting process that took place back in 2011. And the state of Wisconsin joined a lawsuit against the Obama administration about the federal government's policy on bathroom rules.
Laurel White joins us now to get us up to speed on these stories. She's the state capitol reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. Laurel, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, first off, I know you spent a lot of time this week at the state's voter ID trial. What is at the heart of this particular legal challenge?
Yeah, so the 9-day trial wrapped up yesterday, and the heart of the challenge was the claim that the liberal groups bringing the suit, saying that the voter ID law discriminates against certain populations of people. So minorities, young people, people who tend to vote for Democratic candidates.
And we heard some people give testimonies this week. Can you round up what people had to say?
Sure. Yeah, it's rough to round up 9 days of testimony, but basically they had expert witnesses on each side of the argument. So expert witnesses for the plaintiff saying that the law does discriminate, does put barriers in place for certain populations of people. Expert witnesses for the state, kind of questioning the methodology of the expert witnesses on the other side. And then there were stakeholders on both sides. So people for the plaintiff saying that they were affected by the laws, that the laws made it harder for them to vote. And then for the state, people who work for the state who implement the laws and say that they're working really hard to make it easier for people to get to the polls.
And what did some of these voting clerks have to say about how the law worked? Did they report any problems?
Sure. Yeah. So that was a really interesting part of the trial, actually, because there were county clerks that testified for both sides, for the plaintiffs and the defense. So the Madison City clerk testified for the plaintiffs, and she said that the voter ID law has the potential to lengthen wait times at the polls. And that there were some challenges there. And then there were some more kind of suburban and rural county clerks, towns like Cedarburg and Port Washington, that testified for the state saying, you know, these new laws that are questioned in the case actually make it easier for them to do their jobs in some respects. So that was an interesting breakdown, seeing how county clerks fell on both sides of the argument.
And one thing at issue here was voter fraud, and Republicans saying that the law was needed because they need to combat voter fraud in the state, and the voter ID does that. Other people, Democrats, saying, is there really voter fraud? So what did you hear in terms of that?
That's right. Well, that part got really wonky. That was where a lot of the expert witnesses came in. And expert witnesses for the plaintiffs argued consistently that voter fraud really isn't very common. Of course, it depends on how you define voter fraud. And so a lot of the expert witnesses for the state said, well, it does exist. Here are some examples. And there was a lot of back and forth on that particular issue.
And you mentioned hearing from some people in the state, citizens who testified about how they used the law and whether or not the law prevented them from getting an ID. Can you tell us about one or two of the people that testified about their ability to get an ID card?
Sure. So there was a woman who testified who has been working for quite a while. I believe it was actually about 5 years to get her father an ID card for voting. And the issue there is that the name on his birth certificate doesn't match the name that he's been using for his entire life. So that's a challenge that some people have been facing when they're trying to provide the documentation necessary to get a photo ID from the state. And there are just a lot of, it seems, hoops and things when you have that kind of discrepancy in your vital documents. So she was walking the court through that process that she said was really difficult for her and her father and kept her father from voting.
And what do we know about whether this case could possibly impact elections in August and, of course, November?
Sure. So the judge in the case, Judge James Peterson, addressed that yesterday as things were wrapping up, and he said he plans to issue his decision in late July. So that's not going to come in time to affect the partisan primary, which is on August 9th. So as far as we know, full steam ahead, everything's going to be the same. Of course, we expect the case to be appealed to a higher court, whatever the decision is. So stay tuned.
It's the Wisconsin News Roundup, and we're talking with WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White right now. And another case this week going on at the same time. This is a case regarding Wisconsin's voting districts. Now, can you refresh us, Laurel, about this one?
Yes, we have a lot of legal challenges happening this week and last. So my bureau chief, Sean Johnson, has been sitting in on the redistricting trial. It's in its last day today. I believe they're actually getting ready to start closing arguments right now. Essentially, what's happening in this case is that Democrats in the state are alleging that Republicans got too partisan when they redrew the districts, the legislative districts in the state in 2011.
And what did you hear about the process that was used for drawing these districts and about who did it?
Sure. So Republicans were in charge of the redistricting, of the drawing of the maps. And we heard some testimony, or the court heard some testimony earlier this week from an aide to Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald. And he outlined how the process worked. Basically, it was aides for Republicans working in a law office across the street from the Capitol, drawing up the maps, conferring with Republican legislators. Apparently, no Democratic legislators were involved, which has been a point of contention in the case.
Anything to add about what the rationale was used, what sort of standards were used in redrawing the districts?
Sure. Well, Republicans are saying that they used, mathematical formulas that can be proven, that they weren't being partisan, that it's all fair and good. And the argument being made by Democrats in this case is kind of a wonky one. They're trying to prove something called the efficiency gap. And I could talk all day about this, but it's basically about the number of votes that are cast and how that compares to the number of legislative victories. And they think that there's a disconnect there, and that proves that the maps are unfair.
So where does this one go next?
So they're expecting this case to will be appealed, whatever the outcome is. So it's going to be another long process.
And finally this week, Laurel, Wisconsin has joined 10 other states in suing the federal government over bathroom rules. This relates to transgender bathroom use in particular. And what are these states challenging? What is Wisconsin doing here?
Sure. So this was earlier this week. Basically, what the states are challenging, it's Wisconsin and 10 other states, some non-binding guidance from the federal government that came out earlier this month. That was the Department of Education and the Department of Justice saying that federal Title IX laws, which protect students from sex discrimination, should apply to transgender students who want to use a locker room or a restroom that corresponds with their gender identity rather than their biological sex. And some states are pushing back and saying that that's not an accurate application of the Title IX law and that it's taking away sovereignty from the states.
And what did Attorney General Brad Schimel have to say about why Wisconsin was jumping in on this?
Sure. So he mentioned, that it was taking away the state's sovereignty. He used some really strong words in a statement that he issued. He said, "Obama's attempts to rewrite the laws of our country without congressional consent and approval are not going to be tolerated." And he called it a power grab by the Obama administration. So he was very passionate in his conviction that Wisconsin should be challenging this along with the 10 other states.
Laurel, thanks a lot for joining us.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
That was Laurel White, the State Capitol reporter here at Wisconsin Public Radio, and she joined us for a look at the biggest stories of the week for our Wisconsin News Roundup.